Beloved Buddha, Myoku came to see Shokei carrying his bell staff with him. He circumnavigated Shokei's seat 3 times, shook his staff, ringing the bells, stuck the staff in the ground, and then stood up straight. Shokei said, "Good." Myoku then went to Nansen. He walked around Nansen's seat, shook his staff, ringing the bells, stuck the staff in the ground, and stood up straight. Nansen said, "Wrong." Myoku said, "Shokei said good. Why do you say wrong?" Nansen said, "Shokei is good, but you are wrong. You are blown about by the wind. That will lead to destruction."
My friends, I have been waiting to answer few idiots. I will not mention their name for the simple reason idiots don't have names. Just to be an idiot is enough. The first idiot was very angry. He is a leader of the Sudras who have been converted to Buddhism. He was angry because he thought that I am a self-styled Buddha. I call this kind of people idiots because they don't understand a simple thing. Who has styled Gautam Buddha? If he was not self-styled, who has styled Mahavira, Krishna and Rama? They were all self-styled. Only idiots are born. Geniuses have to assert their individuality. They are basically self-styled. There is nothing wrong in it. But this is the beauty of the idiots. They cannot think. They have never thought, although they have become Buddhists. In Hinduism, there is no such thing as the Buddha. In Jainism, the Jaina Tirthankaras have been called basically Jainas, the conquerors, and also secondarily as Buddhas. Gautam Buddha tried to be a Jaina because that was prestigious. It was a long heritage, perhaps more ancient than Hinduism, because the first Tirthankara of the Jainas is mentioned with respect in the ancient most Hindu scripture, Rig Veda. The first Tirthankara is called Adinatha Dijana. It was a respectable heritage, and it was a very difficult contest. 8 people were trying to be accepted by the Jainas as their 24th and the last Jaina. Buddha was also one of the contestants. Being defeated by Mahavira for the simple reason because Mahavira was more masochistic. His whole philosophy was that of self-torture. Buddha could not do that. Being defeated, he immediately grabbed the second word which has been used by Jainas the Buddha. He could not become the Jaina. He declared himself the Buddha. Now these idiots of Maharashtra and this small fraction of converted untouchables to Buddhism, they are condemning me as self-styled Buddha. First think about your own Gautam Buddha. The second idiot also a leader of the converted Buddhists, they are confined only to Maharashtra. A very small minority. He has said that if I want to be the Buddha, I will have to renounce all luxuries. I call these people idiots because they don't know exactly what they are talking about. I will tell you a story about Gautam Buddha. Perhaps this will help these idiots to understand. Buddha renounced in ignorance, not as a Buddha. He renounced his palace and kingdom and luxuries not as a Buddha. He was as much ignorant as you are. He was in search of light. He was in darkness and doubt. He was as blind as anyone can be. In this blindness, in this darkness, he thought perhaps renouncing the kingdom, renouncing all comforts and luxuries, is going to help find truth. what relation is there. If this is the truth that you have to renounce the kingdom, then how many people have the kingdoms? Then the people who don't have kingdoms cannot become Buddhas. And how big was the kingdom, do you understand? There were 2,000 kingdoms at the time of Buddha in India. It was not more than a small tehsil, a part of a district. But when he became enlightened, he came back to his palace to see his old father, whom he has betrayed in a way, because he was hoping that he will, in his old age, take over the burden of the kingdom, and he escaped. He was coming back after 12 years to ask forgiveness from the old man and also his wife. And his son, who has grown 12 years, because the night he was born was the night Gautama Buddha escaped from the kingdom. He had gone to see the face of the child, but the child was clinging to the mother and they were covered with blankets. He was afraid to wake up the wife because she may create some tantrums, and his renouncement of the world may be either prevented or delayed certainly. So he left from the door without seeing the face of his child. After 12 years, when he became enlightened, the first thing he did was to go back to his kingdom. The father was very angry, but Buddha stood absolute in silence. When the father has said whatever he wanted to say, when his race was finished, he looked again at the face of the Buddha. He was absolutely unaffected. When he calmed down, Buddha said to him, that you are unnecessarily being angry with me. I am not the same person who has left the palace. I am a new being with eyes to see. I have achieved the ultimate. Just look at my face, my silence. Look into my eyes and the depth of my eyes. Don't be angry. I have just come to ask your apology that I had to renounce the kingdom. But I have brought a bigger kingdom of the inner. and I have come to share it with you and all. Then he entered into the palace to meet his wife. Of course, she was angry, but she belonged also to a bigger empire. She was the daughter of a far bigger kingdom. And as the daughter of a great warrior, she had waited for these 12 years without saying a word. And what she said is immensely amazing. She said to Gautam Buddha, "I am not angry that you renounce the kingdom. I am angry that you did not say to me anything when you left. Do you think I would have prevented you? I am also a daughter of a great warrior. Buddha felt very embarrassed. He had never thought about it. Her anger was not that he had renounced the kingdom, that is his business. Her anger was that he did not trust in her love, that he did not trust in her and thought that she would have interfered in his renunciation. She was not the type of an ordinary woman. She would have rejoiced that he is renouncing the kingdom. Buddha had to ask apology. His wife, her name was Yashodhara, said that for these 12 years I have been carrying only one question to ask to you. And that question is, whatever you have attained, and certainly you have attained something, I can see it in your eyes, on your face, in your grace. My question is, whatever you have attained, was it not possible to attain it in the palace, in the kingdom? Was renunciation necessary? Gautam Buddha said, "At that time I thought so." Because for centuries it has been talked that unless you renounce the world, you cannot find the ultimate truth. But now I can say with absolute certainty, whatever has happened to me could have happened in the kingdom, in the palace. There was no need to go anywhere. This is my answer to the stupid "I am not an ignorant person. My Buddhahood has nothing to do with Gautam the Buddha. And I am not a Buddhist, remember it. just as Buddha was in his own right, call it self-styled, I am also an individual in my own right. It has nothing to do with your Gautam Buddha. That's why I have called myself Zorba the Buddha, just to make the distinction clear. But the idiots neither can think nor can hear. The third idiot is a professor belonging to the same converted untouchables. Today he has given a press conference in which he says that Sri Rajneesh are not initiated. How he can be a Buddhist? Who told him that I am a Buddhist? I am a Buddha and nothing to do with your Gautam Buddha. And can I ask the idiot professor? It is a very rare that who had initiated Gautam Buddha. If he can be without any initiation, why I cannot be? He has also said that Sri Rajneesh should be an ordinary human being. That's what a Buddha is, an ordinary human being. But it is strange that in a vast state like Maharashtra, only three idiots have spoken. Other idiots must be keeping quiet, knowing me that I will chop their heads. Yes, I am an ordinary human being, but that's exactly what the Buddha means. Look into the Buddhist scriptures. To be an ordinary human being is the most extraordinary thing in the world. But it is not coincidence that all these idiots belong to the small sect of Buddhists. I have known the people who converted these untouchables, these Sudras, who have been living in slavery, utter slavery and oppression for 25 centuries, suddenly have become very vocal. The people who initiated them into Buddhism, I have known very well. One was Bhadant Anand Kausalyan. The other was Bhikshu Dharma Rakshita. under the political guidance of Dr. Ambedkar, who was an untouchable, these two Buddhists converted a fraction of Sudras, because Dr. Ambedkar was from Maharashtra. Bhadant Anand Kausalyan lived in Nagpur, which is now part of Maharashtra. But neither Bhadant Anand Kausalyan was a Buddha, nor Bhikshu Dharmarakshita was a Buddha. Both were Buddhists. And to be initiated by Buddhists is nothing spiritual. Initiation by a Buddha may have some meaning, but initiation by Buddhist scholars can't have any meaning as far as those who know are concerned. I can see clearly these people are angry. They are angry against Hindus, but anger is as blind as love. I am not a Hindu. I don't belong to any organization. Now they are enraged against me, not knowing that I have been always favoring the untouchables. I have been a friend to these untouchables, whether they are in the Hindu fold or they have become Buddhists. It does not matter. Their inferiority complex is tremendous. Perhaps nobody in the whole world carries such inferiority as these people. It was 5,000 years before that a Hindu scholar Manu created the caste system, and for 5,000 years Hindus have followed it. Not a single untouchable has the guts to revolt against it. Just today, one untouchable has been selling coconuts before a Hindu temple . Suddenly people remembered that he is an untouchable and he is selling coconuts to people, and people bring those coconuts to the temple. As the word is spread, the untouchables were beaten, Their shops were burnt. These people for 5,000 years have lived just like animals, cattle. Naturally, a deep wound of inferiority is created in their psyche just because they have become converted to Buddhism. Does not mean that their inferiority complex of 5,000 years will be simply erased. It is that wound which is still oozing with pus. That they have spoken against me, a friend. For a moment I thought, all my efforts to support the untouchables, knowing perfectly well that this will bring only condemnation from the Hindus, from the Jainas. But when I saw these people speaking against me, for a moment I thought, perhaps Manu was right. Manu's whole sociology was that the untouchables are the souls coming from past lives. Because of their evil acts, they are born untouchables. Hence, they should not be treated as human beings. Obviously, if you treat people like kettles, they go on collecting as much anger and rage as possible. Is speaking against me, who does not belong to any organized religion, who has declined to be a host to Gautam Buddha's wandering soul, I have to remind them that before making any statements about me, try to understand my philosophy of Zorba the Buddha. It has nothing to do with your Gautam Buddha. And I am absolutely capable to announce myself the awakened one, self-styled. And I am not against luxury, I am not against comforts, I am in absolute favor of luxury and comforts. Because the more luxurious and comfortable life is available to people, the more meditation is possible, the more relaxation is possible. But these poor untouchables cannot understand anything except poverty. They are poor and they want others also to be poor. I hate poverty. I want everyone on this earth to be as rich as possible in both the ways, outside, inside. The Zorba is the representative of the outside richness of living, and the Buddha is representative of the inside experience of the ultimate splendor. I am bringing to the world a totally new message. Hence, there is bound to be misunderstanding. But remember perfectly that anybody who raises his voice against me should support it with evidence and logic and be ready to be chopped. Manisha has brought few sutras. Before the sutras, a little biographical note. Mayoku, Sokei and Nansen were all disciples of Matazu. Nansen was the eldest and Sokei a little younger. Mayaku's date of birth is uncertain, but he is believed to have been the youngest. The Sutra. Beloved Buddha, Mayoku came to Sokei carrying his bell staff with him. He circumnavigated Sokei's seat 3 times, shook his staff, ringing the bells, stuck the staff in the ground, and then stood up straight. Sokei said, "Good." Mayoku then went to Nansen. He walked around Nansen's seat, shook his staff, ringing the bells, stuck the staff in the ground, and stood up straight. Nansen said, "Wrong." Mayoku said, "Sokei said good." Sokei was also a Buddha. Just as Nansen is, obviously Mayoku was confused. He said, "Sokei said good. Why do you say wrong?" Nansen said, "Sokei is good, but you are wrong." You are blown about by the wind that will lead to destruction. What is the meaning of Nansen? For the same act, another master, Sokei, has said good. Nansen, to the same act, says wrong. Repetition is wrong. Whatever he has done to Sokei was fresh, spontaneous. Now repeating it it is stale and stinking of death. It is no more the fresh breeze of the morning, no more the fresh opening of a rose. You will find dry roses in strange places like Bible. But a dry rose is almost only a memory, a remembrance, a far away echo of the real rose who was dancing in the wind, in the rain, in the sun. Whenever anything becomes stale, repetitive, a man of understanding is going to call it wrong. Not only that, if you continue like this, you are moving towards destruction, not towards enlightenment, awakening, a rebirth. Hence, both are right. Soke is right. Nonsense said, Soke is good. But you are wrong. You have become wrong just because you are repeating the same act which has become non-spontaneous. Anything that is non-spontaneous is destructive to the soul. It is not a creative act that enhances your being, that enhances your awareness, that makes your love pure gold. It simply leads you towards the graveyard. Basu wrote, winter desolation in a world of one color, the sound of the wind. Winter desolation in a world of one color, but still something is immensely alive. The sound of the wind. Even in the fall, when the forests become full of dry leaves and trees are standing naked against the sky, everything seems to be just like a graveyard, but still there is something alive. When the wind comes, even the dead leaves make such music. Even the dead leaves start dancing. Those who can understand, those who can feel, will be utterly astonished of the beauty of the dead leaves they will also be able to see the beauty of the naked trees without any foliage against the sky. Those naked trees also have a beauty. Just you need to have eyes to see. Then everywhere you will find life, love, laughter. Manisha has asked the question, beloved Buddha, what is it to be grown up? Manisha, everybody grows old. Very few people grow up. Growing old is a horizontal process. Just moving in a line, you may reach from the cradle to the grave, but you have moved horizontally. You have become old, aged, but your inner being is as deep in darkness as it has always been. Unless you start growing vertically upwards to the heights of consciousness, you are not growing up. Our whole education is absolutely unaware of the fact that growing up is a different process than growing old. Even idiots grow old, only Buddhas grow up. The process of growing up is going deeper into your roots. Have you ever considered the fact the higher the tree, the deeper are the roots? A high tree, perhaps 200 feet, 300 feet, cannot be supported by small roots. It will fall down. A 300 feet high tree needs exactly the same balance. 300 deeper roots. As the height, so should be the depth. If you want to grow up, you should think of going deeper into your roots, and growing up will be a byproduct of your growing more alert, more silent, more peaceful. The deeper you are at the center of your being, a tremendous transformation takes place. You start growing up to the ultimate heights of consciousness. In those heights you are the Buddhas. No initiation is needed. You know it. When you have a migraine, Do you need a confirmation from others? Nobody says that this person is having a self-styled migraine. Although the poor person who is suffering from migraine cannot prove by any argument, cannot prove by any evidence, but that does not matter. One who is suffering from migraine, even if the whole world says, without evidence, you cannot suffer from migraine, that is not going to change the situation. The whole world may deny it, but the migraine is there. Only you know it. There are few things. Only you know them. When one becomes enlightened, there is no need of any witnesses. It is not a question of anybody else to confirm it. Your enlightenment is absolutely your experience. You don't need any argument. Once Ramakrishna was asked, what is the logical, rational support for your illumination? He used the word illumination instead of enlightenment. It is absolute freedom. One can choose what word he wants to choose. Ramakrishna said, I am the argument. If you can understand me, if you can feel me, you will know my illumination. It is radiating, but your eyes are closed. Now, I am not responsible for your eyes. If you want to know me, open your eyes. And not only the outward eyes, but the inward too. Because my illumination is of the inner. Manisha, you are all growing up. And you will know. You will feel every day how you are growing up in your sensitivity, in your awareness, in your love, in your silences of the heart. All these flowers are inner. Even if nobody confirms it, it does not matter. It is nobody's copyright. Once for all, I want the idiots of this earth to know it, that I don't need anybody's confirmation. I am a man in my own right. And whatever I know of my inner, except me, nobody has any right even to raise a finger about it. If I say I am Zorba the Buddha, you may accept it, you may not accept it, but you cannot question it. It is time for Sardar Gurdyal Singh. The TV announcer appears on the screen. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We interrupt this program to bring you a news flash from the White House. Nancy Reagan's battle with a stubborn cockroach has landed her husband Ronald in the hospital with severe burns and multiple fractures. The details are as follows. Mrs. Reagan is stomped on the cockroach, threw it in the toilet, and sprayed an entire can of insecticide on it when it refused to die. Later, Mr. Reagan, while using the toilet, threw in it a lit cigarette which set fire to the insecticide fumes. The explosion caused serious burns to the sensitive parts of his body. Shortly after that, two staff members who were carrying Mr. Reagan to the ambulance were told how he had been injured. They began laughing hysterically and dropped him down a flight of stairs, which caused a resulting broken pelvis and fractured ribs. The good news for the evening is that the cockroach walked away unharmed. Izzy Eisberg, the salesman from Titanic Insurance, pays a visit to the Kowalski's home. Kowalski is out at the pub, so Izzy is forced to talk to Olga. Do you know how much your husband's life insurance policy is worth? Asked Izzy, but Olga does not understand what he is talking about and just looks at him blankly. Let me put it to you another way, says Izzy impatiently. Do you know what you would get after your husband dies? I have often thought about that, says Olga. Probably I will get a parrot. Jesus Christ is walking on his way to Jerusalem. One day, suddenly he sees a man sitting at the side of the road crying. What is the problem, my son? Asks Jesus. I am blind and I cannot see the beauty of the flowers and the birds in the sky, replies the man. No problem, says Jesus, just waving his hand in front of the man's eyes. Suddenly the man jumps up. I can see. He cries, dancing off down the road. 2 hours later, Jesus comes upon another man sitting beside the road crying. What is the problem, my son? Asks Jesus. I am crippled and I cannot walk. Replies the man, no problem. Says Jesus, just waving his hands over the man's legs, immediately the man jumps up and runs off into the hills singing. An hour later, Jesus comes upon another man sitting beside the road, crying and weeping. The man looks perfectly healthy and robust. What is the problem, my son? Asks Jesus. Ah, Jesus, says the man, I am German. Jesus sits down and cries too. Be silent. Close your eyes and feel your body to be completely frozen. This is the right moment to look inwards with your total energy, your total consciousness, and with an urgency as if this is going to be your last moment. Deeper and deeper, go on piercing till you reach to the center of your being. There you are, the Buddha. The only quality that the Buddha has is witnessing. Witness that your body is not you. Witness that your mind is not you. Witness that only witnessing is your self nature. This is your Buddha. It needs no initiation. It needs only a self-exploration into your own kingdom, the kingdom of your inner being. Thousands of flowers will start showering on you, and a peace will descend that passeth understanding. A silence will surround you, which is almost like a subtle music. a joy will start arising at the very center of your being, like a spring of pure water. Just witness everything and remain aloof. Don't get identified with anything. You are the unidentified observer of existence. To make it clear, Nivedana, relax, but go on continuing to be a witness. That is the secret word I pass on you. The evening was beautiful on its own, but 10,000 Buddhas have made it a miracle. As you relax and just witness, all separation from existence disappears. The Buddha auditorium becomes a lake of consciousness, awareness, witnessing. These are the greatest and the highest peaks of human potential. This is what I mean by growing up. Be a Buddha and you are grown up. Collect as many flowers as you can before Nivedana calls you back. Persuade the Buddha inch by inch. He has been hiding for millions of years at the center of your being. He has to be brought at the circumference also, so that he can become part of your daily, day-to-day activities, affairs. Nivedana, come back, but come back as a new man, a Buddha, with the same grace, the beauty, the splendor, the awareness, sitting for a few minutes just to recollect, to remember the golden path that you have traveled towards your roots. Remember the joy and the beauty that you have encountered, and remember your original face. I call it the Buddha. Okay, Manisha?
Yes, Buddha.